We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Hey, RotoViz radio listener, this is Curtis Patrick from the Dynasty Command Center podcast, and I've got a special deal for you today. Go to rotoviz.com, click the subscribe button, put the 12-month subscription in your cart, and use promo code RVRadio2021. That's RVRadio2021, and you're going to save 10%. Taking advantage of this deal, getting your hands on what's included in the package, is the best way to enhance your performance this year. So go to rotoviz.com and subscribe now.
We're talking wide receiver regression trees and the 2021 prospects on RotoViz Radio.
What's up, RotoViz?
Welcome back to RotoViz Radio. I'm Dave Cabin, Senior Fantasy Analyst at RotoViz, joined by Matthew Friedman of Fantasy Labs and the Action Network. We are going to talk some more about wide receiver prospects today. It seems pretty universal that Ja'Marr Chase is the number one. Matt, have you seen any outlets where you are getting a differing opinion on Chase?
I don't think so. I mean, there might be some people here or there who either have Devontae Smith number one, or some people who are like especially RotoVizzy who might be on Rashad Bateman. But yeah, I mean, far and wide, it's Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah. Yep. And are you still in love with Rondale Moore?
Yeah, I mean, you have to be. Like every week on Twitter, you see something else just about how athletic this guy is. Did you see the picture last week where he basically looks like Saquon Barkley?
Yes, I did see that. Yes, it is a thing of glory.
Yeah,
you know,
like I've bet on him now at 100 to 1 to be the number one receiver drafted. Like he's not going to be. But I think his odds are higher than that, especially, let's say, if Ja'Marr Chase underperforms at the LSU Pro Day and then Rondale Moore runs like in the 4.3s or the 4.2s, then I think he might actually have a shot. You know, maybe it's just like a 4% shot or 5% shot, but I still think I'm getting in good at 100 to 1.
Yeah, well, I'm glad that you talk about the potential of him really shooting his draft spot up, because one of the things that we're going to talk today is just how important draft position is. And in the case of Rondale Moore, I have seen him in different mocks fluctuating pretty greatly, not always a first rounder, but if he does make his way into the first round, we're going to talk about why that puts him into this grouping of players that have a tremendous amount of potential. So what I wanted to talk about on this episode were regression trees. Regression trees are something that we've had available at RotoViz for a while now. Kevin Cole a long time ago used some of these. Anthony Amico on RotoViz and, you know, everywhere else that he's done work has done a lot of stuff with regression trees. So I'm going to kind of give a high level, Matt, of what a regression tree is, just some minor details on how I would put these together. And then you can ask any questions that you think listeners might have. That work?
Yeah.
Okay. So a regression tree, really, what it is in essence, is a series of questions that when you answer the first question, that then presents you with another question. And then depending on how you answer that question, you get brought to another question. And eventually you get down to a final question that brings you to some type of prediction or some type of classification. So in the case of a wide receiver regression tree, what I'm doing in this case is I gather a whole slew of different data points. So for a wide receiver prospect, I'm going to gather information on how many touchdowns he scored per game, how many receptions he had per game, his age at the end of his final collegiate season, you know, market share, receiving dominator, all of these different data points that I have available. And then I run them through a regression tree model, which is more or less an algorithm that is looking at different ways that it can split the population into smaller and smaller sections while attempting to be predictive, in this case, of the fantasy points that those players will score in their first three seasons in the NFL.
I already ask some questions?
Yeah, yeah, go for it.
Or is it too soon?
Well, no, let's see.
Okay. So when you are splitting down into smaller and smaller groups, do you go about trying to fight against overfitting your sample?
Yes. So that's a great question. And that's one of the problems that you have with really any model that you're making. And it's one of those that when you're working through the process of finding the right regression tree, you're going to see a lot. Because, for example, there are only 260 or so players that have played three full NFL seasons or have been in the NFL for 3 years for who I then have all of the data that I want to work backwards on. So what you're going to find is as you are making these splits, you definitely run into a lot of problems with overfitting, because also if I have 260 players at any given time, I am not running all 260 of them through a model, because I have to take my list of 260 players, randomly separate that out so that I have a group of players, which I'm calling a training set. So those are the ones that I feed into the model and that the math is being done on to kind of draw conclusions, find the relationships, and build the tree. And then you have players that you've excluded from that so that you can, what you would call like a test group of players that you then feed through the model and you see how it performed. So yeah, you do definitely run into a lot of overfitting because there's a couple of things going on. And what you're trying to find in a regression tree is different profiles of certain type of players. And the reality is there are not going to be, you know, a great number of players that perhaps like, you know, got the tremendous amount of their work done in the college game via touchdowns and that didn't get going until they were, you know, like in the last year of their career, just different situations like that. So, overfitting, I should say too, just for anybody that hasn't heard that term, because it can get a little confusing. Overfitting is when you make a model that is too reliant upon the specifics of the data set that you're working with. So the model is getting almost too granular and too detailed on the specific players that you have in that list that you then can't apply that model to other players. So it wouldn't be representative of like the total population of wide receivers. It would really only be representative to that particular sample that you're working with. Does that clear up any of your question, Matt?
Yeah, and I was going to ask how it is that you go about determining predictiveness, but you answered it by talking about splitting your sample, your overall sample, basically in half. So you have one that is kind of testing for the other half.
Yeah, and you know, there's different ways that you can evaluate what that difference is mathematically. I just have been using a pretty simple format. That probably doesn't matter, but basically what I'm looking at is, are the predicted values that you get on that test set close to those players' actual values? And of course, for something like this, where you're predicting 3 years of fantasy points, you can only get so close. So like on an average player, I'm an absolute value of 2.5 points off. So if a player's projected to score 13, what that means is he really could end up at like 10.5 to 15.5 is kind of the range.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. So what did you find?
Okay. So what I found is that, and my big caveat here, Matt, is because I was writing this for an article on the site, so I wanted to keep it somewhat simple so that people could get an idea for regression trees and interpret it, and also easily pop in stats for older players if they wanted to see how they would do. So because of that, I didn't include breakout age because that can be tough to find. I will include that in an updated model on the site, which I'll probably be doing after the draft probably, because we're going to see that draft position, no matter how I sliced these things apart and no matter what I'm looking at, the correlation between draft position and pretty much anything that you're looking at for a receiver is about double anything else you can find. So like it explains two times the variance in points per game scoring of over a player's first 3 years than any other metric, right? Which, like, this should not be surprising to us. So go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it's not surprising in a number of ways, just because of what draft position means, like in terms of what it probably reflects. You know, like the NFL is probably fairly efficient at evaluating players and drafting them into the NFL, so that if a guy has high draft capital, it probably means that he's a pretty decent player and that he probably has a lot of the other things that I think would be predictive of NFL success. And then, of course, because of the draft capital invested in him, he's likelier to have more opportunities early in his career within the first 3 years of his career. And, you know, we just know during the season, opportunities tend to translate into overall production, even if a guy isn't all that efficient. So draft capital, like, that's number one. Like, that's the backbone of everything. And, you know, like, we've had conversations before with Matt Kelly, Fantasy Mansion. And, like, as fun as it is to talk about wide receivers who will be drafted in the fifth round, or guys who will go undrafted and then how they might do, or, you know, like, Fantasy Mansion will, I think, sometimes kind of berate me because I just focus primarily on draft position. And it's like, okay, yeah, I like this guy who was drafted in the third round. In theory, I like him more than this other guy, but this other guy was drafted in the first round. So, like, I have to prefer the other guy, even though stylistically, or maybe just as like a football fan, I would rather root for the guy who was drafted two rounds later, but I can't do that. Like, draft position, it's not everything, but like, draft position means so much more than anything else.
Yeah, it completely does. And that just bears out in so many different types of analyses that you can do. And in fact, draft position is such a strong driver of fantasy production that you could have somebody just pop into a spreadsheet, play around, have no idea what they're doing from a modeling perspective, and build a model that's basically like just draft position and maybe one other variable that really might be noise. And that model will probably do something better, will have better results than if you give me a couple of hours to play around with some stuff, but I don't have draft position available. Like, that's how strong it is of a predictor of NFL success. And
Dave, are you talking about my models? That's pretty much what it sounded like. I mean, honestly, like, draft position, and then you add in a few other things that might or might not matter. But yeah, like, draft position is so important. And like, I've said this for years, but if all you did in your dynasty startups was draft based on draft position, because there are so many people in these drafts who either, one, don't pay attention to draft position if you're in a kind of fishy league, or they basically outthink themselves and they go against draft position in a lot of instances, which means a guy who was drafted in the first round, like, ends up falling to the bottom of the first round in a rookie draft. Like, that just creates immense value. If all you did was just stick to draft position while you were drafting in startups or rookie drafts, over the long term, I think you would do well.
Yeah, I really have to just 100% agree with that. And that's one of the biggest things that has stood out to me the last couple of years when I'm doing research and playing around with different numbers. Like, you want to find some other type of, you know, breakthrough stat out there, or relationship that you can put into things. But I just really think it's impossible that you're going to trump draft position. And then the other thing, Matt, that's really interesting is, and I should say, getting back to that whole idea of overfitting, because I don't have a whole lot of data to work with, when you're looking at the regression tree, if you go and look at this article on the site that I built, you need to realize that the thresholds or the cutoffs in these questions are more like guidelines, because depending on what you toss into the regression tree for the training set, you're going to get slightly different numbers. So for example, the first question that the regression tree I've included for this year on the site asks is, was this player's draft position greater than 106? Now, that's going to fluctuate, you know, maybe up or down, maybe 5 to 10 spots, depending on the training set. But so basically, I view this as, is a player going in the top 100 or not? That's the first decision, right?
Yeah.
If a player then is drafted earlier than somewhere around 100, the cutoff really comes if they're drafted in the first round or not. And the crazy thing here, Matt, is the regression tree, if you are drafted in the first round, it only cares about one thing, and that is age. And in the tree that I built here, the only age variable I fed was final collegiate age. And the magic number that it found for age is somewhere around 21. Who's that prospect this year that's looking like they're going to be drafted in round one that's younger than 21? It's Ja'Marr Chase, and that puts him in a group of players where they're projected to get an average of 15 points per game across their first 3 years. Right, so this is what we've known, draft position and youth.
Yeah, and then the one other guy, maybe two other guys potentially.
Yep.
And now I'm just grouping more and more, but like Rondale Moore.
Yep.
Like, he will be 21 years old as a rookie.
Yep.
Elijah Moore.
Yep.
Will be 21 years old as a rookie. He's gotten a little bit of first round hype. And then Terrace Marshall Jr., I believe, will be 21 as a rookie. And so maybe he slides into the bottom of the first round. Those are the three guys who have gotten a little bit of first round hype, but they're not in the majority of round one mock drafts, to where if any of those three are able to land in the first round, like, that is big news.
Yeah, it really is. And we will talk about why for Terrace Marshall Jr. in particular, getting into the first round would be huge. But we are going to take one quick break before we get to that. Hey, everyone. Before we get started, I want to tell you about Blue Wire Hustle, a brand new program where you can host your very own podcast here at Blue Wire. Hustle was created to give everyone the opportunity to take your podcast to the next level. Or if you want to host a podcast and just don't know where to start, Hustle is the perfect place for you. As part of the program, you'll receive personal cover art, Q&As with Blue Wire's top podcasters, access to our community Discord, and an e-learning course full of tips and tricks. And on top of that,
we're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We'll help you get your show pushed out to Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and all other listening platforms. And the best part is, you can get all of this for only $15 a month, the same rate as any other hosting site would charge you just for the initial setup. So whether you're starting from scratch or have an existing show that you want to grow, Hustle is an open door to leveling up your sports podcasting experience. Acceptance into the program is limited, so get your application in today. To apply, go to bwhustle.com/join. Check out the description box for this episode to find out more, but that's bwhustle.com/join. Look, no one's perfect. Even the best baseball players strike out with the bases loaded. The best golfer sometimes three-putt with the tournament on the line. So if you feel like you come up short in the bedroom sometimes, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go to GetRoman.com/RotoViz now. With Roman, you get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A U.S.-licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication's appropriate, it ships to you free with two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/RotoViz and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving home. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/RotoViz now to get $15 off your first month. Look, there's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. GetRoman.com/RotoViz. Get started now to save $15 on your first month of treatment. Okay, so I had said that getting into the first round for Terrace Marshall Jr. would be huge. And he's also a player, Matt, that I like a lot, but there's something holding him back, which becomes very apparent when you start to look through some of his numbers. And that is, he was sharing the field with Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase, as we've talked about. Now, this is important because if you are a player that's going somewhere after the first round and before the 100th or so pick, the next question that you get to is, was your draft position... All right, so it goes draft position less than 100-ish. And then if your draft position was greater than the first round, the next question is, was your receiving market share greater than or less than 22, your career receiving market share? Now, in the case of a guy like Marshall, I believe that it actually was less than that. I don't know if you have that up in handy, Matt, but I'm remembering when I was looking through this tree that he was, right? And what happens is that then forces him into a cohort of players that only managed around 6 points in their first season. However, this goes back to something we talk about a lot about. Just because this model is saying this in the case of Marshall, I do think that it's fair to view him as a slightly different player. But if the answer to that question was no, he did get more than a 22% career market share, we get back to age on this tree. And if the player was less than 21, they land around 11 points. And then we get into our final variable, which is receiving touchdowns per game. And the interesting thing, Matt, here is you can see that there is probably some overfitting because it's actually a detriment to a player that's on this branch in this particular regression tree to have gone over 0.68 receiving touchdowns per game. But the moral of the story here is these types of players that filter down here normally go between 7 to 12 points. But it's a little bit hard to say what we should do with the receiving touchdowns because it's really saying it wants you to go for more than 0.57 per game, but under 0.6.8. But I would I would say to anybody, what I would really look for here is just to view receiving touchdowns as the next variable in this and hope that the player gets a lot.
Yeah, I mean, this feels like the point in a regression analysis when it goes too far.
Yep.
You know, like when, it, as you said, like it gets to the point of overfitting. And like we've, I would say like known slash intuited, like there's been evidence suggesting that receiving yards and receiving market share, that those are more important than touchdowns or like market share of touchdowns, right? Yep. Touchdowns, and like we get the sense of this even in projecting during the season. Like touchdowns are very fickle. What a guy does in one season in terms of his touchdown scoring, that's not really all that predictive in terms of what he's going to do the next year as a touchdown scorer. But what he does as a yardage producer is much more predictive. So you pay attention to yards. You don't pay as much attention to touchdowns. And in the case of Terrace Marshall, I'm looking at a guy who I think is, you know, going to go in the first 100 picks for sure. A chance to go on day one, but if not day one, definitely day two, who wasn't that much of a yardage producer in his first 2 years. You know, of course, because he had Justin Jefferson there and Ja'Marr Chase, but in his final season did have 731 yards in seven games. And for two seasons, his final two seasons did have 23 touchdowns, but a guy who's going to be selected high in the draft, who is 21 years old as a rookie, who had good yardage production in his final season, not as good as having it over the course of his entire career, but still good production in his final season. And then you add on what, you know, some people might think of as, I don't know, supplemental or like peripheral things, but, you know, he was a five-star recruit. He was playing at LSU, which is, you know, like a top tier school. He's 6'4 and 200 pounds. Like that's the kind of guy I'm probably going to want, regardless of whether he's drafted in round one or round two.
Yeah. And then just kind of touch upon something there. So people might be curious as to why you would see receiving touchdowns popping up underneath receiving market share, not something like yards. And that's because when you're doing a regression like this, what can happen is there's certain variables that if you include them in the model, they don't actually make it any more predictive. And sometimes there's overlap between certain stats. So it's possible sometimes that one variable that you might want to include on some level gets picked up in another variable. So like, for example, if you're getting the majority of receptions on a team, you know, it's probably likely too that you're getting the majority of yards. So you don't always have to include all of those in a model. And the other thing too that you find the more you do with models is, though it would seem like adding in more and more and more variables to the model would make it better, that isn't actually how it works out. When you actually go and do things in practice. So you try to avoid that. So you generally try to keep them fairly basic if you can. So we've talked now, Matt, about how these things branch. And then I should say, if you're drafted after pick 100, if you are less than 21, those guys actually still manage to get around 8 points. If you are over 21, you're lucky if you're getting to 6. Which just really drives home too why we reach certain points in the draft where those players we just don't really consider from a fantasy perspective because the odds that they actually hit are so low that it's not worth our time. And the other thing, Matt, is players in the pool that I had that were drafted after 100, they account for 51% of players, right? So that's one of those things that makes this fairly easy. You can remove about half of prospects each year from the pool of players that you're even considering. So, you know, that's also a useful takeaway.
Yeah. I mean, I would say the one guy last year who comes to mind who was drafted after pick 100, I believe in the fourth round, who actually ended up doing something this year was Gabriel Davis. And he was 21 as a rookie, right? You know,
right.
Like that kind of like drives home the point. And, you know, he had production in college, like, you know, pretty good production. In his final year, he had 12 games, 1,241 yards receiving, 12 touchdowns. You know, yep. In 2018, he didn't have numbers that like on their own stand out. 815 yards, 7 touchdowns, but he was still the number one receiver on his team. Like, still, in terms of market share, ended up having pretty decent production. So, you know, Gabriel Davis feels like the kind of prototypical guy. If you're going with someone drafted outside of the top 100, he better look something like Gabriel Davis, like if you're hoping for him to have a chance.
Yeah, absolutely. So other players that you might be curious about that are outside of the Smiths and the Waddles and the Batemans, players that are likely to go in the first round, Amon-Ra St. Brown out of USC actually scores pretty well. You mentioned Elijah Moore, who, if his draft stock could really shoot up, that would help him a lot. He actually scores fairly well in this. Beyond them, though, the only other player that would probably be going real late that actually scores fairly well is Nico Collins. Now, he could get below pick 100, might go after it. He's a wide receiver out of Michigan, one of the bigger players, 6'4", 215. So depending on where he goes, he might get into that group of players that become interesting. Like you said, Rondale Moore has a lot to gain in the draft. We'll have to see how he does. And then Kadarius Toney, I now have to view as a player that I'm a lot more interested in. Yeah. Not the greatest numbers at Florida, but I've seen him with an average position of around 27, you know, sometimes going in the 20s in drafts. And if that happens, we're going to have to start to think about him differently.
Yeah, absolutely. He is going in the super majority of sharp mock drafts that I survey. And so I don't think of him as someone who hits a lot of the roto-busy things that I tend to value. But draft position is king. And I mean, I do have to admit, even though he wasn't productive in the first 3 years at Florida, at least he still had production in a number of ways. Like, and that is a roto-busy thing, you know, to like guys who produce as receivers, as runners, as return men, and at least he has that going for him. So like, that is something that can at least kind of offset the fact that he didn't break out until the end of college.
Yeah, for sure. You know, a couple other names too that you're not going to hear talked about that much that did decently in this regression tree: Anthony Schwartz out of Auburn, Jalen Darden out of North Texas. I've seen some people getting excited about Jalen Darden. We'll have to see where he goes in the draft. Out of North Texas, that doesn't help. He's 5'9", 170.
I absolutely cannot do it with Jalen Darden. And like, I get all of the reasons for why they're like, is justifiable enthusiasm for him. But I mean, the level of competition, like, we just know it wasn't all that good at UNT. And you know, he was like, as a recruit, like 5'9", 160 pounds. Like, I honestly don't know if he's even 170 pounds at this point. Like, maybe he is, but I don't know. Like, he wasn't really, like, there's a reason he was playing at UNT. You know, like, I don't know. I don't think he's going to be all that fast. I'm very skeptical. Like, I hope he does well. Like, it would be cool to see someone like him do well. But I just don't know. I don't know why he would do well and someone like J.J. Nelson wouldn't have. You know what I mean? Right. Because I think, like, J.J. Nelson, like, had legit athleticism. I don't know if Jalen Darden does.
Yeah. So a player that kind of puts up disappointing numbers in a model like this is going to be Dyami Brown, who I know some people like, but I have not seen him falling in many mocks below 100. In fact, I'm not even sure that I have, Matt. So, you know, that's something that would hold him back despite some excitement that I've seen for, oh, go ahead.
He's not going to go in round one for sure. But I think he's got a pretty good chance of going on day two. I'd say the end of round two, maybe like to the middle of round three, feels kind of like the wheelhouse for him. If he goes there, what do you think that means for him?
Oh, I think that that's a huge, huge boost. I think that puts him up into a range where I'm realistically expecting somewhere between like 8 to 12 points per game in a model, which is like a pretty strong prediction. If he doesn't get that, though, then unfortunately my models would tend to put him in the realm of obscurity where he doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
Yep. So the final thing I will say is I do plan on adding in athletic measurables to a regression tree that maybe we'll talk about later. I'll definitely get up on the site. I was holding off on doing that because I can guess as to draft position, but you know, the athletic measurables, trying to guesstimate those for players, not something I felt like doing yet. And very honestly, none of those measurables are going to come near draft position and age and probably production as well. So we will take another look at that in the future. But that wraps up this episode for the week. If you are a RotoViz subscriber, I want to let you know that the range of outcomes tool I have finalized rolling forward to 2021. So you should definitely go ahead to the site, check that out. And we are going to be talking about that some in the second episode of the week. But that does it for this episode. You can reach us at rotovizradio@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at DaveCabinFF and at MattFTheOracle. Thanks to RotoViz for sponsoring the show, as well as Blue Wire Hustle. Please rate, review, and subscribe. And as always, remember, it's not a fantasy if you believe it.
When you make decisions for your company, you always look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing and shipping to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your process to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, books, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart if you sell online. Schedule package pickups through the dashboard and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are, even on the go. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other business decision makers with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage, and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.